601-361-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. We'll be asking the question today, are we caving to the woke culture? Are we caving to culture today? Simply put, have we basically surrendered our biblical values to embrace the values of the world? Have we come to the point and place in American spirituality, Christianity, where there's the mindset we need to have the world to embrace us, and we jettison the word of God in order to be embraced? I don't know about you, but I can recall the time when preachers would stand in the pulpit, challenge the politicians, condemn sin, challenge the moral degradation, ask the questions that need to be asked in relationship to the morals and the ethics and the values in culture, where Christians, churches, and pastors would stand against political corruption. I don't know about you, but maybe it's being done and I just don't see it. But I don't see that taking place today. The church would, day gone by, would challenge any ordinance, any law, any bill that wanted to be passed by city council and otherwise that would in some way impinge the moral, ethical, biblical standards. We're not seeing that today. Why? What is taking place today that's so modifying the pulpit, the church, and the mindset of the church? Why is it so? What is happening? I believe that we can see the handwriting on the wall with the sense that the church just cannot take a stand against the world. And the mindset appears to be, from my perspective, that most denominations, most churches, most pastors, most that call themselves Christians, want to be approved by the world, do not want to be shunned, rejected, reproved by the world. And so therefore we're finding the woke culture today simply coming into the church. We're going to talk about that today. And I believe there's a biblical answer, a biblical solution. I believe there's a biblical directive that we ought to look at and ascertain what should be done. How should we respond? I believe that when we have a question, we need to have a biblical answer. I believe that when there's a challenge to the church, to Christians, to the morals and ethics and the values, I believe Christians and churches and pastors ought to stand. I can read of the history past where in the 1700s, even in the late 1700s, early 1800s, the pastor's message, in which there would be a challenge to the politicians, would be printed and posted in the center of town. They'd have a place where messages could be posted. The politicians could read it. They didn't go to church, perhaps. And they didn't have online worship. They didn't have the chat boxes or the availability of listening to what the preacher said. So they'd read it. Ladies and gentlemen, we have gone way beyond that today. And we have, I believe, caved to the woke culture. In just a moment, I'll have a brief monologue. After the monologue, we'll open our telephone lines and invite you to call. And lest I forget it, let me remind you, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. And let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is the truth book. John 8:31-32, when Jesus was speaking to his disciples, he said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word. "Thy word is truth." Psalm 117:2 declares that the truth of the Lord will endure forever. And ladies and gentlemen, we need something that has, that offers stability today, that offers hope today, and it's certainly not going to come out of the Oval Office, out of either side of the aisle, the rhinos, the Republicans, or the socialist Marxist Democrats. Certainly not coming from there. So we must see a change, and I believe the change going back to truth must come from the pulpits, must come from the churches. It must come from the Christians, conservatives, and patriots in America. George Orwell, it was, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, made a stunning statement. He said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." We find that to be truthful today. What I will be saying today, multitudes will want to reject it, deny it, challenge it, respond against it, or in some way feel that it is just simply some conspiracy theory of sorts. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it goes back to the need to stand for truth. And yet we find, according to the latest survey, about 55% of the millennials today, the 18 to 35-year-old age group, have the position, and I quote, "Each person determines their own version of truth." Ladies and gentlemen, there's not but one version of truth, and that's truth. At the risk of redundancy, I'll repeat. A half-truth is a whole lie. And yet we have multitudes today that will do that, trying to convince you that they have the truth. Joe Biden... Joe Biden in some ways is going to come up with some kind of answer in relationship to the recent death of three of our service members, American military, with some 34 others injured when a device exploded in their compound where they were sleeping. And now it's from Iran. Joe Biden is saying, "We want to do something." Well, he's been talking about doing something now since the October 7th war started in Israel. And we've had hundreds, I believe the total is 164 thus far, attacks on military personnel in the Middle East. And Biden says, "We're considering our options." Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the demise of anything that would be called a standard of strength, a standard of purity from the church. We're watching, in fact, when it comes to what Biden is doing, what Biden is saying, how many times do you hear a pastor, a church, or any spiritual Christian organization saying or doing anything in relationship to challenging it or saying anything about it or coming against it? It's simply not happening anymore in society today. There seems to be a mindset that that's politics and we ought not to be involved in politics. That's what we're being told. That's what the church has been told for quite some time now. And as a result of that, it has caused churches and Christians to believe that somehow, some way, we need to leave all of these things to the government and not become involved. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to go back to truth, the centrality of truth. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that made a powerful statement. And may I read that statement for clarification? He says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And that's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast. We need to love the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, find the truth, and stand on it, defend it, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or a lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the hurricane preparedness equipment. They can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. There's a gigantic benchmark, 165-foot flagpole, U.S. flag Old Glory flowing 24/7. Base of that flagpole, you can find a home of Tools for Time. But wait, there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you are working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does placing in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. Are we caving? We as Christians, we as conservatives, we as patriots, we as the Constitutional Republic Americans, are we caving to the woke culture today? I believe we are. I believe we are. As I said earlier in a pre-monologue, at one time in America, the churches would stand for issues against moral and ethical, biblical degradation. I recall back in 90 and 91 when in Jacksonville, Florida, restaurants could not sell alcoholic beverages by the drink on Sunday. There was a major push through the city council at that time to do so. I took a stand. Others did. We stood before the city council and challenged it. There was a local rag called the Mandarin News at the time that had a full front page article. Said Dr. Gene Youngblood is a Bible thumper trying to beat people in the head with the Bible simply because I took a stand before the city council publicly stating what the scripture says in relationship to alcoholic beverages and the destruction to family and home, destruction to marriages, children, the poverty that it would cause in relationship to it. It was laughable by multitudes, including that rag that was called the Mandarin newspaper at the time. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we need to go back to the era where pastors and churches and Christians will take a stand against anything that is unethical, that will in any way impinge the morals, ethics, and the values of the biblical standards that we find in the scripture. So what's changed? What's changed? Why are churches and pastors and Christians silent today when it comes to moral, ethical, political issues? Let me remind you, lest you have not picked it up in the introduction to this broadcast. God created the home, God created government, and God created the church, and in that order. And anything that we speak about from the standpoint of Christians and pastors and churches, if it is in any one of those three categories, it's biblical. And yet, multitudes today will say, well, we just need to talk about Jesus. We shouldn't talk about the political. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no such thing as a political issue. We've couched it that way. We've categorized it that way. But it's a biblical issue. It's a biblical issue when it comes to morals and ethical values. It's a biblical issue. Could it be that we are caving to the woke culture today? Today we find the average church across denominational lines that's silent when it comes to serious moral decline. Franklin Graham said recently that progressive Christianity is leading people to hell. Now, progressive Christianity means that you're simply bowing and bending to the agenda of the world. Progressive Christianity, back just a few years ago, it was called the emergent church, where there's the mindset that we can challenge the Word of God, we can in some way decline as a nation simply because we're leaving off the Word of God, and it's okay. It is the woke cultural progressive Christianity today, listen carefully, that I believe is part and parcel of the problem that we're seeing with the absolute frenzy, chaos, and calamity that's taking place in our nation. One of the writers has written a complete book on the subject. I'm looking at it here. Title of the book, Christless Christianity, The Alternative Gospel of the Average American Church, by Michael Horton. This book is several years old, and yet it is what we find taking place today. A Christless Christianity. What does that mean? How do you have Christianity without Christ? How do you have church without biblical directions? Ladies and gentlemen, in the modern church today, we find there's silence from the pulpit on the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. Silence in the pulpits. There's the mindset that we need to embrace it. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, many churches today embrace the LGBTQ agenda, having homosexual pastors and homosexual deacons, and embracing the LGBTQ sodomite lifestyle. There's something wrong with that picture. Today, just about as many Christians have abortions as non-Christians. Today, the emergent church embraces the trans culture. In fact, Andy Stanley recently, the North Point Church in Atlanta suburbs, Andy Stanley had a weekend seminar hosting sodomite LGBTQ people, and the focus on that seminar was to encourage Christians to embrace those of that lifestyle. When I say those of that lifestyle, the LGBTQ sodomite agenda lifestyle. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the farthest thing from the Word of God. And yet, when you go back to Andy Stanley says we need to jettison the Old Testament. It's not relevant today. Andy Stanley says that the Christians ought not to pay attention to the Ten Commandments. They are relevant today. Andy Stanley says that when it comes to the question of biblical creationism versus the modern woke cultural sense of how mankind got here, we need to believe science and not the Bible. He was saying that the Bible is irrelevant because the Bible does not teach evolution. Ladies and gentlemen, he had an entire conference on that. It was a transgender, trans LGBTQ idea of embracing that lifestyle. The Bible says, ladies and gentlemen, we're to avoid all appearance of evil, any appearance of evil. So how is it that we've devolved to that? Today, ladies and gentlemen, the church in general does not stand against the culture of drugs and drinking and gambling. We find as many Christians today indulging in the moral slime pit as the lost world. Why is that so? Could it be because we have caved in to the culture. Could it be that that is where we stand? What's happening? Love to hear from you. 904-831-0917. 831-0917. 904 is the area code. Love to hear from you. Do you believe that somehow, some way, the American church has caved to the woke culture? Do you believe that somehow, some way, what we see taking place in the world today is, or in America in particular, is as a result of not being obedient to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God? Could it be that we have abandoned the Word for the world and allowing the world to dictate the practices in our churches? I believe that's part and parcel of the problem. I believe that we're finding that today. In fact, it is evident that it's not just in America, but around the world. But I'm concerned about what's happening in America. I'm looking at a headline, Franklin Graham critiques the Brits Methodist Church for editing God's Word, removing husband and wife. There's the mindset that we want to be culturally correct. There's the mindset that somehow, some way, we need to embrace culture so that we're not ostracized as a group of people. Now, ladies and gentlemen, God's Word is very, very clear. Jesus said, if the world hates you, it hated me first. Jesus said, if the world persecuted me, it's going to persecute you. And we find that's exactly what's happening. But somehow, some way, there's the mindset with so many churches today, denominations, and Christians, that we can avoid the persecution, we can avoid the hatred, we can avoid the rejection simply by being like them, being like the world, engaging in what the world engages in. I go back to the standard, and the standard is the Word of God. Now, there's some that's taking hold of that standard. I'm looking at a headline that says, parents are recalling have a aim to recall efforts at a school board member who endorsed porn. The members of the school board in Fairfax County, Virginia, who were sworn in on a stack of pornographic books and depicted pedophilia, including violent child rape, now is the target of a recall campaign from parents. It goes on to talk about it and the attempt to do so. We're finding in the state of Florida, there's some good things. For example, Florida Republicans eye the ban on pride flags in the school and in government buildings. The Florida House Republicans introduced new legislation Wednesday that would restrict certain flags in government buildings and schools, bringing the state one step closer to banning emblems like the LGBTQ pride flag. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, if we have the concern from a state level of the pride flag being flown in the classrooms, in the schoolhouse buildings, and in public buildings, what's wrong with the Christian pastors and churches standing and rejecting it? But we find more and more churches today embracing the pride flag emblem, allowing the LGBTQ sodomite flag to be flown, even in churches, on church campuses, in church buildings. Ladies and gentlemen, I find it egregious that we have gone so far to the left in trying to embrace the world that we fail to see what the Word says. I'm looking at a headline. A 50-year-old man who identifies as a 13-year-old girl is allowed to swim and take a shower with the teens. This headline's article reads, a report on social media is blowing up the facts. It contains a 50-year-old man is on a swim team with young girls, and he showers with them. The explanation was the individual, Nicholas Sakita, and last weekend, talking about what had taken place, was allowing to be in a swimming tournament with the teenage girls. According to the source, they were originally slated to compete at this tournament. That's the club's original time and time frame. But there's a 50-year-old man who identifies as a 13-year-old girl. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a society today where there's a chaos and confusion, where a 50-year-old man can say, I'm a girl, and be allowed to be on a swim team with the girls, the teenage girls. Where's the cry in the pulpit? Where's the hue and cry from the denominations, in the churches, in that city, this city, and other cities across the nation? Here's another headline. Man instructed to pose as transgender allegedly raped a female inmate in prison. Here's one. Senior center bans public lunchtime prayer. A small town in North Carolina, Outer Banks, has come under attack from a group of Wisconsin atheists. The Freedom From Religion Foundation got triggered after someone ratted out a bunch of elderly Christians who prayed before lunch at a senior center. Quote, a concerned community member reported that a senior center employee leads an explicit, excuse me, hear me, this article says, leads an explicit Christian prayer before every lunch served at the center. The out-of-town atheist wrote in their letter, quote, we're told that the seniors are not allowed to eat lunch until an employee finishes blessing the food. Our complaint, excuse me, our complainant stated that the center's lunchtime prayer practice makes them feel pressured to participate in prayer. Now, what's wrong with that? Where is the cry from the pulpits and from the churches to that censorship? And our First Amendment right allows prayer and a blessing over a meal. The point that I'm making, ladies and gentlemen, is substantiating my position and my challenge today. Are we caving to the woke culture in our churches, from the pulpits, and from the Christian lifestyle? I believe we are. I believe we have gone so far to the left that it's hard to see where we've ventured from. I'm looking at an article. In fact, it wasn't an article. It was a meme, I believe you call it, on Facebook. It says, cancel the entertainment in the church. Fire the drama team. Get rid of the stick. Unplug the colored lights. Put the pulpit back in the center of the building. Stand up like a man. Open the Bible. Lift it up. Let it out. And let it fly. I don't think you could summarize what's needed any clearer than that. Cancel the entertainment in the church. Fire the drama team. Get rid of the stick. Unplug the colored lights. Put the pulpit back in the center. We've gotten to the point and place in society today that the church has become the entertainment center for the community. And therefore, there's the mindset we've got to be all things to all people in order to bring them in and fill the seats in the building. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't see anything in the scripture that mandates that. We need to recognize the society in which we're living in has fallen greatly. We have declined from the once great standard of the scripture. One of the latest things, ladies and gentlemen, we'll touch on this before we have our news break. One of the latest widely shared news articles is about Pastor Alistair Begg. Alistair Begg appears to be approving transgender LGBTQ marriages. Now, I want us to delve into this. I want us to talk about it. Not to denigrate Pastor Begg, but to ask the question, is that the status, the standard that we need to have? Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We're going to have the top of the hour news and be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University.